someone is what?
Christ is risen.
Amen. And we're not just talking of just anyone. We're talking about Jesus Christ. Anybody knows the meaning of Christ? What does Christ mean? Anybody knows the meaning of Christ? Anyone? He said Jesus Christ. What's the meaning of Christ? Anyone? What is the meaning of Christ? Yeah? Anybody? No volunteer? You've been saying Jesus Christ all these years. What does Christ mean? Hallelujah. Now, if you're going to say that in Hebrew, you will say Yeshua. That's Jesus in Hebrew. That's the original name. The Jesus is a transliterated forming from Greek to English. So to arrive at Jesus, Yeshua moved first to Greek and was called Hiosus. And then to English, it's called Jesus. But the original name is what? Yeshua, which means Jehovah saves. Yeah? Or Yahweh saves. And in fact, actually, the name of Jesus is exactly similar to the name of Joshua. Yeah? Joshua did not travel to Greek before being translated to English. That's why you have him as Joshua. So, it's actually in Hebrew, it's Yeshua. And Joshua was a type of Jesus because he led the children of Israel into the promised land. Amen. Now, so if you're going to say Jesus Christ in Hebrew, it's going to be Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Or another way to say that in English is Jesus the Messiah. Amen. So Christ represents Messiah. Now, anybody knows the meaning of Messiah? What does Messiah mean? Come on, church. Anyone? Messiah. Yeah, you can say. Deliverer, yes. I think that's right. Savior, yes. Yes, anyone? Any other? Deliverer, Savior, excellent. I like it. Any other thing that could match Messiah? No? Who said that? Redeemer, yes. Anointed. The chosen one of God. The special one. Amen. Jesus is not just anybody. Amen? He's not just a great teacher. He is the chosen one of God. Amen? He's the redeemer. The deliverer. Yeah? The savior. Not like any other savior. He has done what no man can what? Can do. Amen? So in the name of Christ today, he's the anointed one. Amen? The chosen one of God. The Messiah. And today, as we look at this topic, Christ is risen, we're going to look at why is Jesus special? Why is he different? And let me just say this. There was any season of the year that you should celebrate Jesus. It is springtime. Amen? Hallelujah. It's springtime. Although we celebrate the birth of Jesus at Christmas, he was not born at Christmas. For certainly he was not born in the winter. Otherwise, it could not be laid in the manger. Amen? No, that would be crazy. Amen? But, you see, in the Hebrew calendar, the Jewish religious calendar, starts in spring. Amen? It starts in spring. What does spring represent? Let's ask some of our young people. I don't like to be in church and young people are lost on social media. Irritates my spirit. Amen? Because social media is a false world. Amen? But we want to contact God. Hallelujah. Bible says, in him was life. John 1:4. And the life was the light of men. You see, what social media does is social media massages your emotions. And it can throw you down in 1 minute. Amen? It's false life. But in Jesus Christ, it's real life. So what was the question again? Yeah, spring. I'm not talking about healing springs. Yeah. Your spring or springtime, what does it represent?
Starting afresh or starting over.
Starting afresh, starting over. I love that. Yes, more? Spring. You were telling me about spring the other day. Come on. Pass it on.
New beginning.
I like it. New beginning. Yes. More? 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 You see, the God we are serving
You may call him Jehovah or Yahweh, but I call him Yahava. Amen. Because Yahava tells me that Yah is Ahava. God is love. Amen. It's the greatest revelation. Now, it's a God of purpose. Amen. It's a God of what? Purpose. It's also a God of numbers. Amen. Spring represents beginning, a new beginning. Someone said, starting afresh. Yeah? I think we're still... One more. Any more definition of spring? What does spring represent? Just, I think we don't... I want to capture something else. Anything comes to mind?
Awakening.
Awakening, yes. I like it. Like something has been sleeping and then... like in spring, you see the roses come to life. Yeah? Or what's the name of this one? The daffodils. Yeah? Yes, I like it. More?
Revival.
Yes.
For me, it represents florism.
Flourishing.
Yes.
Today, flourishing. Yeah. Yeah. Well, anybody can translate French to us? Florism? Well, I'll take it as flourishing. Blooming. Yeah? Yeah? The blooming ladies. Blooming. Yes. Spring. So, God is a God of purpose. You remember, he created the seasons. You see, God himself is light. Yeah? Someone said, you know, how could God, if you read the book of Genesis, and I challenge you to go back and read it. Yeah? God created the plants before he made the sun. Now, that's not scientific. In the sense that you feel that in the Gentile pagan mindset, everything depends on the sun. But God is telling that, no, that's not true. Yeah? On day one, God commanded light to shine. He didn't create the light. Because he himself is what? A light. Amen? God is light. Is that in your Bible? He said, God is light. That's why in the New Jerusalem, they have no need of sun. Because he himself is what? The light. So in the beginning, God said, God commanded light to shine out of darkness. So once there was light, the plants can survive. Even without the sun. Amen? So the reason why the sun came is not for survival. Bible says, go back to Genesis. He said, he put the sun, moon, and stars there. And he said, then there for seasons. There is to mark the seasons. Amen? So the moon is there, and the sun, to mark what? The seasons. The seasons are important to God. And I'm talking about spring time. Amen? So even in the seasons, the coming of Messiah has been coded. Amen? Both the beginning and the new beginning. Because when God made Adam, yeah? Adam fell into sin. And the rest is what? History. Amen? Hallelujah? Bible says, through one man, sin came into the world. And death. How did sin come into the world? It wasn't through evolution. It's through one woman. And how did death come into the world? It's through sin. If there was no sin, there can be no death. Hello? That's why evolution, you cannot believe in the Bible and believe in evolution. You must choose one. Evolution tells you that animals have to die for millions and billions of years before we got to man. But the Bible told you that death could never have happened if there was no sin. It's sin that brought death. Death is the wages of sin. You see that? Death came through sin. If there was no sin, there would be no death. Not just of humans, even of animals. There will be no decay. There will be no brokenness. There will be no deformity. Hallelujah. There will be no demon possession. There will be no war. There will be no economic downturn. Or what do they call it? How do they call it? Cost of living crisis. Hallelujah. When God made Adam and Eve, yeah? God created man on the sixth day. And the very first day of man was the seventh day. It was a day of what? Of rest. Inside where? Paradise. Hallelujah. But there's one more thing about the 7 day. It wasn't just rest in paradise. It was a day where it could be released to worship God freely without any care. Amen. And that shows the perfect God of God for you is to be in a place where it's showing us there's a connection between worship, rest, and paradise. Amen? Worship, rest, and what? And paradise. When I put God in the center, yeah, where issue belongs, I can experience a rest that goes beyond understanding. I can be in this world despite all the stresses and still being at rest, still be at peace, because I'm keeping God in the center. Hallelujah. I'm giving him my worship. You know that song says, you know, no one can worship you for me. Hallelujah. It's a special thing. I encourage my sons. I say, God likes to hear your voice. Hallelujah. It's a very blessed thing for you to just open your mouth and sing to God. He likes it. I'm telling you something that God likes. You want to make God happy? Let him hear your voice singing to him. That's worship. Amen? So God is the God of purpose. So he put man, the first day, he put him in rest. But unfortunately, man sinned. And the Bible said that death. He said that day when you eat. Let me just explain that a bit. You see, when God made man, sometimes when you're thinking back, when the devil, particularly the devil is always at work. Bible says he goes around like a roaring lion. It makes you think that, oh, God wanted to deny them of good things. Whenever the devil is trying to sell you a lie, he will tell you to do something. It looks so enjoyable. I always said, sin? Nobody will sin if it was not attractive. Hello? The reason why people sin is because it's enjoyable. Hello? Can anybody tell me any sin that is not enjoyable? Think about any sin that you think that people do, but they don't enjoy doing it. Anybody? Come up with any sin that someone can do and say, well, they just did, but they didn't enjoy doing it. You cannot be tempted with something that doesn't attract you. Can you? Think about anything that can tempt you but doesn't attract you, but it's tempting you. Temptation is attraction. Amen? Amen? So, every time the devil is trying to get you to sin, yeah, it's because he knows he can attract you. Amen? But it's a lie. Because packaging that attraction is poison. Amen? So when God made the paradise, God made thousands of trees. Thousands. Think about thousands. Don't think about 10 trees in the Garden of Eden. Think about 10,000. Yeah? And God told Adam, he said, of every tree of the garden, you can freely eat. Yeah? Every tree. Imagine you have 10,000 trees. You have to go to how many years to go through them? You can freely eat. Yeah? 10,000. Just, you can. Anyone you like. You have freedom. But what God did not give Adam was unlimited freedom. You see, you have free will, but it's not unlimited. Say, I have free will. But it's not unlimited. You know why? Your free will comes with consequences. But then God told him, he said, look, but in the middle of the garden, yeah, there's a tree there. You can't eat. So was God limiting Adam? Was God wicked? Was it too restrictive? Do you think God was too restrictive? Ratio 10,000 to 1. Is that too restrictive?
No.
Amen? 10,000 to 1. You can freely eat of 10,000, but you can't eat of this one. Amen? So we will say that tree, yeah, is God's place. It's God's priority. Amen? It's at the center. You put God at the center. Yeah? It guarantees that you can enjoy all the freedom he has given you if you are operating it under God. Amen? But when you choose to kick God out of the center, yeah, other freedoms will lead to bondage. So God told him that when you eat of this one, means that when you eat this tree, you have kicked me out. Yeah? That day you will surely die. I'm just trying to explain to you how death came to the world. It came through one man. That's Romans 5. Let me find the verse. Romans 5. He said, you know, through one man, sin came in to the world. And death came through sin. And so people started dying from Adam. Amen? I'm just trying to explain to you why Jesus has to come. Anybody found the verse? Romans 5. Let's open there. Romans chapter 5 verse 12. I think it's very difficult for me to preach a sermon and not refer you to the Bible. And it's good. That way you can make sure that you know you're not being deceived. Romans 5 12. Yes, who is ready? Romans 5 12. Young people. Young people. I want young people. Yes, Romans chapter 5 verse 12. Please follow in your Bible. Audrey will be reading.
Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, because all sinned.
You see that? Another version, just to emphasize it. Yes, that was NIV, Romans 5:12. Yes, tell us which version.
New King James.
Yes.
Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world.
Through one man. How did sin enter the world?
Through one man.
It's through one man. It's just one man. Yes, continue.
And death through sin.
So when sin entered, it opened the gate for death. I want you to understand death. Death is not just physical death. Death is spiritual death. Now someone say, what's spiritual death? Death is to be out of fellowship with God. Death is to be cut off from the life of God. Now, when you are cut off from the life of God, all bets are off. Any evil thing is possible. Hello, can I just explain that again? When someone is cut off from the life of God, any evil thing is possible. That's death. So, people are not just dying the moment they died physically. They are dying by being under the dominion of death. Walking their life as spiritual darkness. Walking their life as sin and sinfulness. Bondage, addiction. They are all death. Sickness, disease, deformity. They are all death. Yeah? Broken relationships. Broken marriages, broken homes. They are all what? Death at work. Hallelujah. Anything that causes corruption. Anything that causes, you know, decay is death. It's a spirit. Ultimately, death is a spirit. You find that in Revelation. That at the end of time, death will be cast into the lake of fire. That's a great day. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you with me? This is why Jesus had to come. And someone said, oh, but why? Why should I have to suffer? Because of Adam's sin. Romans 5 tells you, he said, death came through sin. And all of us also sinned. It's not as, okay, Adam sinned and I'm suffering. No. Because you came from Adam. Where did you come from? Thank you. Well, you're honest. Where did you come from?
I come from
Mars or Adam?
Adam.
Amen. Anybody here who didn't come from Adam? Where did you come? Adam. Anybody who thinks they came from Eve and not Adam? Anybody who would prefer to say, I came from Eve and not Adam? Because Eve herself came out of where? Adam. Amen. So, we were all inside Adam when he sinned. So, we inherited the problem. Hello? According to the law of inheritance, we were all inside him. Yeah? So when he lost it, we inherited it. Do you see that? Amen? So God had to send another Adam? Would we not inherit from Adam? Amen? That's why when Jesus came, he had no earthly father. Amen? Jesus is a bona fide son of God. Amen? He's not born of any man. Amen? The seed came from the Holy Spirit. Amen? John 1:12, say the word. Say the word. The word himself. I wish you can have the revelation of who the word is. The word that created everything. He became flesh. He entered the womb of the virgin. Amen? As a seed inside our egg. Oh, the virgin contributed the egg. Amen? Because Jesus needs a human body. Yeah? But the seed, the spiritual seed, did not come from any man. It came from God. Amen? He's a new man. Bible calls him the second Adam. No, I missed it. The Bible is the second Adam, actually, but the Bible does not call him the second Adam. He calls him the second man and the last Adam. Let me explain those two things to you. He's the second man because every other man came through Adam. We are all sons of Adam. Hallelujah. But Jesus is not a son of Adam because he did not come through Adam. Amen? Hallelujah. He broke it. He broke that link. So that's why he is the second man. He's the second human being that is a direct creation of God. You see, the father of Adam is God. Who is the father of Adam? Who is the father of Adam?
God.
Why? Why is the father of Adam God?
Because God who God directly made
Adam. Yeah, but like counter reason it. Why is the father of Adam God?
Adam has no,
do you know Adam's father? Who gave birth to Adam? You know Adam's mother? Adam's father. So who has to be his father?
It's God.
He's direct. The Bible says, you open your Bible, it will help you. Genesis chapter 1, which verse is that? Somebody let me find the verses, around 20 something. Genesis 1. Yes. Genesis 1, what verse was it? 20. I'm looking for the verse that says that God formed the man from the dust and breathed into him the breath of life. 20 what? Check it. Let me just... Okay, yeah, it's close, but that's not what I'm looking for. So, I see why. That's not the verse I'm looking for. The verse I'm looking for says, God formed the man from the dust, and he breathed into him, and he became a living soul. Genesis 2? 2:7, please. Young people, Genesis 2:7. Where are you? Who's ready? Genesis 2:7. Come on. A young person that's not ready today. If you believe you are young, yes. That's a young man.
And the Lord God formed man of dust.
The Lord God
of the ground.
Formed man. Or if you are reading it like in Hebrew, it will say the Lord God formed Adam. You know Adam. Do you know the name Adam? Adam means man. Or mankind. Adam as a person means what? Mankind. In him. When God was making him, all mankind is represented in Adam. Because the seed of all mankind is in Adam. Amen? Including Eve. All in Adam. Yeah? And God formed man from where? Continue.
I'm breathed into his nostrils the breath of life.
God formed man, Adam, from the dust.
Dust.
Yeah? Of the ground. He formed him. So that forming, yeah, I want you to be like you take clay and you form a statue. That's the word there is forming him.
God did not command him into the animals. God commanded them. Let the ground produce. He didn't form them. He commanded it and the ground produced. But man is different because man is special. God took time to form him or mold him from the dust. Amen? That's some attention. Careful detail. He didn't just say, let the ground produce man. No, he formed him. But he's forming his body. It's his body that is being formed. Sometimes you see people say, I'm dust. It's partly true, but it's not totally true. Yeah? It's your body that is dust. Amen? But you are not just body. So if you say, I'm not just a body. I'm a soul. And a spirit. Amen? Amen? If we're just a body, yeah? You're not eternal. The day you die, it's over. Oh, you're a soul, you're a spirit, and your spirit is eternal. Amen? Yeah. So the God, Lord God formed man from the dust, that's body. Yeah? Then God what? Breathed into what? His nose. That's not oxygen. The breath of God is what? It's not what? Oxygen. You know why? The animals that were made before man, they were already breathing what? Oxygen. It was not resuscitation. If you doubt me, go and mold some clay now and resuscitate it. Amen? It is the breath of life. You know who is the breath of life? That's the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit is the breath of life. Amen? And when God breathed, he's breathing into man spirit. Spirit. And the man becomes what? A living soul. But when Adam sinned, or another way to say that, when Adam sided in with the devil, yeah? His body was still alive. Yeah? But his spirit was sent into darkness. When I say darkness, darkness is to be cut off from a vital relationship with God. Amen? Now, let me tell you what happens when you are cut off. When someone is cut off from a vital relationship with God, God is no longer their father. Amen? You see, Adam was created as the son of God because he's a direct creation of God. But when he sinned, he lost sonship. Amen? He was still living. Yeah? But it was now Adam, God. The word father is missing. Amen? Let me explain that again. When Adam sinned, God was no longer his father. He's just his God. And so for many people in the world today, God is just what? God. But they don't know him as what? As father. Because they've lost the relationship. How did they lose it? Sin. What is sin? Sin is to go your own way and kick God out of the center. When God is not in the center, when he's not Lord and King in your life, you're going your own way. And that's sin. That's the definition of sin. Sin is rebellion against God. Sin is treason against God. Treason means to take over the authority of your life. Hello? To commit treason against a government, you need to resist their authority and try to displace it. Isn't it? Is that not treason? What's treason? Someone help me. Anybody can define treason for me? The crime of treason. What does that mean? Check your Google. Treason. To commit treason. What does it mean to commit treason? Come on. Treason.
I think it's to act and maybe set things against the current government.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Is along the line. What? It's along the line. Anybody can concentrate it. Make it more scary. What is treason? Say someone has committed treason. Or say the another big word for it is treasonable felony.
To go against the current religious belief at the time by the monarch, so like mm-hmm. the people in power.
Mm-hmm. Okay. To go against that. Yes, there's still packaging it. Yes. But I'm looking for something that is more concentrated. No, it's correct. It's just, I'm looking for a full package.
Is it to like betray like a set of laws mm-hmm. or like morals that would be
agreed upon by like X amount of people, but then like, you're going against that.
It's the same line. The same line. It's, so you can see that it can be broken into so many things. Yes.
I think it's.
It's the same line. Yeah.
I think it's to declare yourself the government, like the authority.
Yeah. To declare pilot government. Yeah. Amen. Sin is to commit sin against God. When Satan said, I've explained before, Satan can never overthrow God. And Satan is smart enough to know that. Satan could never say, I will overthrow God. That's stupidity. You're a small, tiny, created being, no matter how powerful you are. And God is big and infinite. You can't dare it. That's not what he wanted. Read it again. He said, I will be like the Most High. He didn't say, I will be the Most High. I will be like. Meaning that, I'll run a parallel government. God, you do your own there. I do my own. I don't have to submit to you. I don't have to subscribe to you. Yeah? The only thing is that I want to continue to enjoy everything you created. But I want my own life. Yeah? So twisting, like we have all explained, is twisting is to try to subvert the government. You know? Or betray them. Or do anything that compromises that integrity or authority of the government. Yeah? It's twisting. And so, that's the definition of sin. Sin is to say, God, I don't want you there. I want to take my own. I want to be in charge. So that was the standard problem of all human beings. Because Romans 3:26 says, all have sinned and they fall short of the glory of God. You cannot say I'm good. You're never good enough if God is not at the center. In fact, the only thing that can make you good is God. You can never be good without God. It's a mathematical impossibility. Amen? Because once you kick God out of the center, what you get is sin. Amen? To be good, you need God in the very center of your life. Amen? And so that's why Jesus came. He came to pay the price of sin so that we can be reconciled back to God. I just share a few things. Oh, can you just put that on my sermon? So I've been meditating on that, which is good. Anyway. Amen. So just show you some few things in the story to show you what we're saying. Yeah? When Jesus was going to the cross, Pilate tried him. That's in, they put him on that trial. And Pilate said, this man has not committed anything worthy of death. He knew that they just brought him because they were jealous. So Pilate wanted to free him. And they said no. So Pilate said, okay, every year I have a tradition to release a prisoner to you. So he presented to them the most difficult option. There was a prisoner in Pilate's, someone in Pilate's prison who had committed what? Treason. His name was what? Barabbas. Yeah? And by the way, you know the name of Barabbas? Ba-Abba. Son of the Father. It's an alter ego. Yeah? There was a real criminal, a real sinner. And his sin was treason against the Roman government. He had committed what they call insurrection. That is a rebellion, a revolt. Yeah? Now, in some of the Bible, they call him a murderer. But he's not just a random murderer. He was murdering as part of resisting the government. He might have even murdered a Roman soldier. Yeah? He committed what they call treasonable felony. And the price for treasonable felony is death. Certain death. So Barabbas was in prison as a convict to be killed. Yeah? So Pilate, knowing that Jesus was not guilty, gives them a difficult option. See, every year I'm releasing to you. He has tried to say he's not guilty, release him. They said, no, don't release him. So he gives them the difficult option. Yeah? Every year I release to you a prisoner. This is Barabbas. Yeah? He's a hard man. Say, you say Barabbas was a hard man. Oh, you're not saying that. Say, Barabbas was a hard man. Have you ever met somebody that are hard? like, you look at their face, you know that, man, you don't mess with this person. They're not afraid of dying and taking everybody with them. He was a hard man. He was ready to die. He was ready to face Caesar and attempt to kill him. Hallelujah. And he's thinking that the mob or the crowd and the chief priest will look at this hard criminal who is really worthy of crucifixion, is the one that is worthy of it, and say, oh, well, when we compare what we have against Jesus compared to this man, Jesus is still much better. Yeah? But what did they do? They shouted, release to us Barabbas. And crucify who? Actually, he said, when he said release, so what should I do with Jesus? He said what? Crucify him. Who said so? Who said so? It was the people. That's why I tell you, when people say, people are saying this, people are saying that. If you want to follow people, you go to hell. Don't follow people. Hello? Some of those people that said crucify Jesus, they ate his bread and fish. Say, how do you know? Yeah? He fed how many people? There was another time he fed 3. Yeah? And if we assume that they have a wife and a child each, that's 15,000 plus 9,000. That's what? 24,000. Out of 24,000, there won't be one person in that crowd. Yeah? Are you with me? So, in that model, it's showing us that actually, it wasn't just the chief priest that killed Jesus. It was the people. It was the crowd. It was you and me in that crowd. He took our place. Amen? He took our place. So Jesus was accused of treason. He said he told people not to pay taxes. He called himself a king. To call yourself a king when there's a king is what? It's treason. He said he's the son of God. That's treason. But he did not commit all those things. The person that committed they said they should release him. I hope that Barabbas became a Christian. Because if he didn't, he will go to the hottest part of hell. Because he's no longer as clear as possible that he took your place. Amen? He literally took the place of Barabbas. Amen? Jesus goes to the cross. There are 2 thieves on the cross. On his side. They are not ordinary thieves. Go and read your Bible again. The version we call it thieves. But actually the Bible says that they were also people who committed insurrection. Maybe they were team members for Barabbas. His deputies. Another version says murderers. They are all committing treason. So Jesus is dying in the middle of 2 people that committed treason. And one is mocking him. But the other is saying, we deserve it. He doesn't deserve it. Hallelujah. And he said, Lord, have mercy on me. Remember me when you come to your kingdom. And Jesus said, today, or today, yes, you will be with me where? In paradise. So 2 people. One accepted what Jesus did. The other mocked at it. That's exactly what's happening today. These 2 people, same background, same setting, all sinners. But one sees their sin. One believes that they're not that bad. Yeah? They're not that bad. Have you ever heard the word? It's not that bad. It's not too bad. Yeah? What is this telling you? What's mean of it's not too bad? What's mean of it's not too bad? Explain to me. When you say it's not too bad, what does it mean? It's not too bad. Let's break it down. What does it mean to say it's not too bad?
It's manageable.
Yeah. Yes, more. Thank you for that. Correct. More. It's not too bad. Let's break it. Let's analyze it. When you say it's not too bad. Or when you say I'm not that bad. What are you telling us, really?
It's reasonable.
Reasonable. Okay. Yeah. More. You're not breaking it down. Break it down. See, someone said to say, yeah, I'm not that bad. What are they admitting, first and foremost?
It gives you confidence to continue that thing.
Okay, yes, yes, yeah, yeah. You're not getting what I'm saying. Someone told you I'm not that bad. What are they admitting first and foremost? That what?
They're bad, but they could be worse.
They're bad, but they could be worse. Put your hands together for this young lady. Amen.
They are bad. Amen. They are bad. So, you see, to be saved, and I'm running up gradually, maybe a few minutes, you need to first, the first thing you need to understand is that you are bad. Amen? Hallelujah. You cannot be saved. You can never be truly saved until you understand that you are a sinner. Hello? Hello? Hallelujah. You can't bring your goodness to God and say, because I'm a good person, yeah, let me into heaven. Yeah? You're welcome. The first qualification is to recognize that you are what? You are bad. You know, like Michael Jackson said, I'm bad. And he was happy. Yeah? But he did nothing about it. He died in his badness. I remember a singer, there was a singer like that in UK. You know, she's under addiction. Instead of seeking for help and staying in help, you know what? She writes a music on addiction. So they decided to send me to rehab. And I said, no, no, no. And everybody was dancing with her. And she died like that. It's not terrible. I think it's so sad. They make money out of her problem. It's in dire need, but they're making money from it. That's what the devil does. He tries to make a merchandise of your situation. Amen? But when we recognize that we can't help ourselves, then we know that we need a savior. Say with me, say, I need a savior. Hallelujah. It's the end of all goodness. Yeah? You need Jesus. Yeah? He's the one who can restore you back into a good relationship with God. Amen? And when you now come to God on that platform, that doesn't mean you continue in the wrongdoing. It means that you now start living his own life. Amen? I read something yesterday. He said, you know, Jesus Christ has paid the price, so we can now just rest. He has done all the work, and he said it is finished. Yeah? So now we can just rest. And that's not true. It's partly true. It's true that Jesus did all the work, and he said it's finished on the cross. Yeah? But the goal of the work is to make you a son of God, and you are created in Christ Jesus, Ephesians chapter 2, unto what? Unto good works. Amen? It's not like, oh, you just rest and do nothing. No, 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 no. You are resting in him so that he can live his life through you. Amen? So when we say Christ is risen, what we are saying is that Christ has won where Adam failed. Amen? And because Christ has won, if I trust in him, amen? If I trust in him, if I receive him and make him the center, you have to make him the center. You are not following Jesus until what? He is the center. Coming to church cannot take you to heaven. He can't ever. Ever, ever, ever. Amen? You have to put Jesus right in the center of that garden. Let him be your Lord. Follow him faithfully. He will lead you into life. And the reason why he can is that he is the one that overcame sin. He never sinned. Even half. He never sinned. Secondly, he died for your sin. He was punished for what he did not do. He took your place like Barabbas. He took Barabbas' place so that Barabbas can go free. Imagine in one moment because of Jesus. Just because of Jesus. Imagine if Jesus did not show up that day, Barabbas is going to the cross. Because Jesus showed up that day, Barabbas is a free man forever. And that's what he did for you. And so, the response is, because Christ has died, and because Christ is risen, we are to live for him. Amen. And that's what I like about spring. Spring indicates new life. Spring is actually the month of Jesus. It is the month you should celebrate the birth of Jesus. It's spring. Amen. It is the month you celebrate the death of Jesus. It's where? Spring. It is the month you celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. It's what? Spring. It's all about spring. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's rise up and talk to God. It's rather than just God. So the title of this sermon again is Christ is Risen. And what it means for you is that, you know, I don't know your personal journey, but if you are here, you've never committed your life to Jesus. You've never repented of your sin. All you've ever done in your life is, okay, you go to church and you tick that box. I'm not a bad person. I'm not that bad. No. You need to come before him and say, you know what? I'm bad. I have bad thoughts. I have bad ideas. I've done bad things. And I'm sorry. Talk to the Lord. If you're in that category. Say, Lord, I can't let that. In my own self, I'm wretched. In my own power. In my own humanness, I carry the sin of Adam. It's in my DNA. In my own humanness, I cannot make it to heaven. In my own humanness. So I come to the cross. I repent of my sin. But that's not the end. I acknowledge that I need a savior who will be my Lord so that he can live his life through me. So Jesus Christ, I invite you, come into my heart. Now, if you better be praying that prayer if you don't have that personal relationship with Jesus, because that's the only way. That's the only truth. That's the only life. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I'm not saying it for anybody's sake. This is a personal matter. This is a personal, serious matter. I invite you, Jesus, to be my Lord. I want you to be my captain. The captain of my life. I want to be my shepherd. My leader. My role model. I want to be the one. I want you to be my sunshine. In all the seasons of my life. Jesus, I put you first. Have your way in my life. Reign in me. I am yours. And I give myself to you. Thank you, Father, for this. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. So we're going to